The Girl Green as Elderflower, written by Randolph Stowe and read by Humphrey Bower. In the hall below, Amabel and Mikey sat at the table, while their mother's daily aid whisked about them with duster and broom.
"I don't know, I'm sure," she said, "why you sit here just when I'm busy. It's a lovely morning out, if you wrap up well."
"We're waiting, Mrs. Kersey," said Mikey. "We've been waiting since breakfast."
"For a friend," explained Amabel, "who is coming to play."
"Well, the playroom is tidy," said Mrs. Kersey, "and I'm sure that's easier to keep warm. That fire makes so much dust in here."
As the rosy woman, with duster and furniture polish, was addressing herself to the oak settle, a voice said out of the air,
"Did you ever find your ring, Kitty Kersey?"
Mikey ran to the door, yelling,
"Lucy! Lucy!"
And Mrs. Kersey suddenly found Amabel beside her, holding her protectively by the hand. With the smile of someone whose good humour was being tested in public, Mrs. Kersey gazed about the ceiling.
"Am I on candid camera?" she asked.
"Well, if that's you, Mark, I've heard of tape recorders before."
"It ain't Mark," said the voice from the air. "You don't know me, but I know you, Kitty Kersey."
"It's that familiar," said Mrs. Kersey. "If it's you, Lucy, I shall give you a good slap."
"It ain't Lucy neither," said the voice. "Lucy's just now coming."
And a moment later, the brown girl arrived in haste.
"Is it Malkin?"
she panted out to Amabel. And the other girl nodded her pale gold head. Mrs. Kersey's tolerant face was beginning to look imposed on, and she said a little fretfully,
"If it's a joke, there's jokes that go off like milk."
"Now then, Kitty Kersey," said the sprite, "don't get your knickers in a twist. There ain't so many people see as a sin, and I believe I've seen you about for a year or two. Not to mention the times I've heard your name from Bill Brooks up at the forge. Oh, Bill," he says, "if ever I marry again," he says, "Kitty Bug that was will be the bride, and no other won't do."
"The cheek of him," bridled Mrs. Kersey. "He's got no right to be making so free with my name, and he can't say that I ever gave him encouragement."
"I don't say you do, gal," answered Malkin. "And he don't say so, and he only talked like that to his old mother, and she's as deaf as a beetle. But old Bill, he ain't such a bad old boy, and he fancies you something comical, and widowers ain't so thick on the ground as widows. There's others would have him, and Marjorie Mill is one."
"She's very welcome, I'm sure," said Mrs. Kersey.
"I'll tell you something," said Malkin. "I hear about Marjorie Mill. Cor, I thought I'd die laughing. It was during the war, you see, when the Yanks was about with lots of money. And that Marjorie Clegg, she was then, she give herself a bath in milk. A bath full of milk, I ask you. Would you credit it? Yes, she bathed in milk to make herself more beautiful."
"She never," cried Mrs. Kersey, with joyous laughter. "Oh, I don't believe it. How could you know such a thing?"
"I was in her sister's house," said Malkin, "when she tell her husband that story, and I had to go away because I thought they'd hear me laughing. There ain't many I talk to," explained the sprite, "and none that see me. But a house like this, with children in it, is kind of cheery, and it's dismal like at hours.